everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to share. The Lord put everything in place that we need. We needed healing, He provided it. We needed authority, He provided that too. We definitely needed salvation. He provided that first. And I thank the Lord that He did. Our spirit man, our natural body, and our mindset, He made provisions for a broken heart. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Now the enemy has worked high and low, near and far, to keep us separated from the blessings that the Lord has already provided. And it's so easy. Now, we see great miracles happening throughout the Word of God, especially in the days of Acts. After they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they were in love with God. They were enjoying the manifestation of God and man for the first time ever since God made Adam. You know, the prophets used to rejoice when they get a word from the Lord, and they would express it, and people would rejoice together when they love God. But every time they go to looking over their shoulder at the world and considering the world and wanting to be like the world and other nations, they backslid, and that's where the problems would begin again for that next generation. And then they'd go through sorrow, and then that would be God would use somebody to bring people back to reality, and they'll start following God. Every time Israel had a good king, a godly king, a king that feared God, they did well and they followed God. They had blessings, they had peace, they had joy, they had rain, they had abundance and no lack. And then there would be a generation raised in plenty. See, the thing about when you have more than enough, anything can become a distraction, whether it's a lot or a little, whether there's plenty or lack. It can distract you against God, because you can't trust nothing like you can trust Him. But those who trust the Lord, those who look to God, they grow in every way of life, And then they continue to have and enjoy abundance. Now, everybody that has abundance don't enjoy it. There are few people that has greater, that have more than enough, that truly enjoy what they have. The reason is, you can't satisfy lust and greed. The lust of the eye cannot be satisfied. You can have all these things and be depressed because you want more. And when you attain more, it doesn't make any difference. How many wealthy people blow their brains out, jump off buildings, take pills and go and sleep away until they die? Because none of those things that you can attain and none of the things that you lust after can satisfy your life. Only God. And that's just the way it is. And until people learn that lesson, they continue to fall for the same satanic tactics. It's not God's fault, it's not His will. People don't accidentally turn their shoulder. It's a day-by-day process of looking at things the wrong way. The Lord once gave me a message. How do you see what you're looking at? You can fixate on a person, and you expect that person to fulfill everything in your life. If I could just be married to this woman, or a woman to this man, and then when they're married to him, they try to make them fulfill everything, and it's not possible. You have to be able to look to the Lord as God. You're not healthy until God looks bigger than everything you see. Your mind can't be healthy unless you love God more than everything you own. and every person in your life, even your children, even your spouse. You got to love God and His ways and principles first and foremost. And then you can look to Him, and you can and the wisdom to enjoy life will arise. Because you'll live from the standpoint of love. And you and if you continue to look to the Lord and His guidance, and then remember, the Word of God is the knowledge of love. When you operate by the knowledge of love, the Word of God, the spoken Word of God, and the written Word of God, when you live your life and govern your life by it, then you'll see things, you'll automatically put things in its proper perspective. You'll be in love with your spouse, but you won't depend on them for anything. Whatever they help you do or give you in life, you'll enjoy it. And you're able to live without pressure. Now, I want to say that a little slower. Sometimes the things of God, they don't register until you receive it. It's not like you just telling somebody how to build a table or how to build a bookshelf. And they hear you and they understand you and then they go on from there. But the Word of God has to penetrate your heart. You have to believe it, and then you have to be receptive to, because it's light. It's a greater way of life. It's something, and many times it's something that you've never seen done before. Concept that you never, that you don't have the skill or things you hadn't perfected yet. You hear what God says and believe it, and then you receive it as truth. And you act on it in life, and it becomes faith that you live by. Now, I'm going to say it again. When you have a healthy mindset, that comes from looking to the Lord, and He's bigger and greater than everything you own and all the people in your life. You love your spouse with God's love, yet you don't depend on them for anything. If they're good to you, you accept it and you enjoy them. And you receive strength as you endeavor to love others. And where do you get that strength? Because God loves you. Receive strength from the Lord and love other people with God's strength. And you'll never run out. You'll never run low. You'll always be appropriate. You'll never depend on people for anything. And that takes the pressure off. If they do good, enjoy. If they do bad, enjoy life. I'll say that again. If they do good, enjoy them. If they do bad, enjoy life. In spite of what they're doing that's wrong or not to your favor, you're in a position to receive whatever strength you need to build them up. Now, all these words I just spoken, that's the life of God. This is not how the world wants to operate. If you're gonna do the Word of God, this is where it will lead you to. If you study 1 Peter, it teaches you how to love people no matter what they do or how they respond. Not just to the good people, but also to the froward. That's the worst people on earth. You love them as people. Don't depend on the people in your life for anything. And if they do you good, enjoy them. If you know they're doing you wrong, and they probably will, some people will do you wrong, even though you love them. And some people will get it. They'll receive your love, and they'll learn from it, and they'll respect you, and they'll start doing right by you. Most people will. But there are some hard cases out there. No matter what you do or say, they're going to find some kind of way to rebut what you're doing. Some people are so suspicious that they'll think you're trying to get over on them some kind of new way. And all you're doing is the Word of God. You love them. When you know, and loving people is important. If you're a boss, you're over them, you love them, they don't like you, they sow discord, they tell everybody you're no good. And you treat them right. And then when they do something right, you promote them, or you never You never retaliate. Some people, they are useful to the company, and they may have a bad attitude. And some, I've seen people do this. They don't get involved with every little nitpicking argument. They don't always know how to deal with this person as a Christian. Because they're corrupt. Some people are corrupt. But they're made in God's image. Now, as a boss, they got a job to do. You're paying them to do something. As long as they're doing the job, they're valuable to the company. They may sow discord. They may have the worst attitude. But as a leader, if you deal with them faithfully and you remain operating according to the character and love of God. Now, if they push the envelope, then you have to do something. You may have to fire them, or you may have to discipline them. And all that those things are appropriate. They have their place. But if they don't do anything to merit getting fired or demoted, and then they do something that really puts the company forward, and you promote them anyway, based on what they're doing, not their attitude, but how valuable they are. Sometimes that kind of love will surprise them. And the Lord told me, if you love people, they'll respect you. And they'll see themselves. Anytime you operate in more light, eventually people are going to notice it. And they may not like you, but they'll respect you. I've seen it happen. They'll respect you, but they really don't like you. That happens. Everything on earth in this world, it happens. You do good to those that despitefully use you. I used to have a hard time with these things, but I looked deeper into what Jesus was saying. Found out it works. Works good. When people do you right, enjoy them. If they're not pleasing to you, enjoy life. Enjoy the life that God has given you. You can overcome any form of evil with good. And the Lord can put them in a position where they can't be any more trouble to you. Even if they're continually around you, they won't be able to get to you anymore. It's all right to ask God questions and find out, okay, Lord, this is a hard case. This person's a challenge to me. And I don't know how to deal with it. That's good. I pray things like that all the time. If I have a problem, I'm trying to do something God told me to do, and it's a challenge. Then I start asking the Lord, how do I do it? I want to get this behind me. See, when you're looking to the Lord, He has so much wisdom to supply you. And what God do can greatly overcome and outweigh the works of the world in your eyes. You're not a sitting duck. You don't have to wait and sit by on the sideline until they get themselves together for you to have a good life. And people that are married to people that's aggravating to them, all right, look, if you look at the person too much, they'll never seem to change, even though they do change. There are some husbands that have done things that hurt their wives. They had a bad habit for a long time, and then they got tired of being a nuisance, and they started working on themselves. And they work on themselves. But the wife will never see it because she's looking at what happened and not what is happening. And men do it too. They look at what happened, and they're staring at what happened. That's in the front of their mind. It's bigger than God. It's bigger than their wife. They're depressed because of it. They're looking at what happened. But their spouse has repented and did works of repentance, and they didn't know it because they can't see it. Because the devil gonna say, They're just trying to fool you. And they can't see their sincerity. And in prayer, God try to talk to them. They won't listen to him either. They're focused on what happened. And when you focus on what happened, it can become bigger, and the devil will play with your mind and emotions. It's a blessing that people do right by you. It's a blessing that they continue to do right by you. But eventually something's going to go wrong. I'm sorry. And they'll do something you really wish they didn't do. But when a person's trying to repent and they ask you to forgive them, I would be quick about forgiving them. Just like when God brings things to my attention, I know I was wrong. I know I made a false step. I know I shouldn't have spent the money I spent. I overdid it. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me again. And he's happy to forgive me and restore the relationship. And, you know, years ago, if you want to really appreciate God's forgiveness, you need to read the Old Testament. If a person was going to the synagogue and they were going to sing that day, and everybody was looking forward to it, and they happened to step on a dead cat, now they become unclean and they can't go. They got to go home and wash, and they're unclean till evening time. If they were on their way to church and somebody aggravated them and they fussed somebody out, now they're unclean. They can't go. They got to go get, if they sin with their mouth or sin any kind of way, if they're poor, they got to go get two turtle doves, take it to the priest. He's going to offer it as a sacrifice to cover their sin. If they're rich, they got to go get one of their big bullocks, a cow or a sheep, however rich they were, not just the one of them, the best one, the best livestock they have, and take it to the priest, and it can't have blemishes on it, birthmarks and blemishes, and it can't have one eye. It's got to be a good one, and then they got to offer it to the priest. Now, Jesus took care of all that once and for all. We don't have to do that. We just ask God to forgive us, and we forget how much pain Jesus suffered for every cotton-picking one of us. So I don't want to do something that would shame my Savior after what he's done for us. He forgave me. I can think of a lot of things. And when I think about some things I did, I just feel terrible about it. I wish I didn't do it. I can't go back and undo it. I have no time machine. And God didn't give us the wisdom to make one if it is possible. I can't go back and undo the things that I did that I deeply regret. And there are some things I've done I just wish I didn't do. But I did. And God forgave me for it. And he gave me the ability to move on. I'm not going to drown in sorrow because of what I've done before I got saved. And sometimes after I got saved. Things that I thought about. Things that I did. He's faithful to forgive me. And he's justified to forgive me. The blood of Jesus washed my sins away forever. So that's what I want to represent to others. When people do me wrong, I'm going to love them like God loved me, in order to represent the work that Jesus did in me. He forgave me, I forgive them. I'm here to represent God, not others, not myself, and not the will of the crowd. Because people want you to love who they love and hate who they hate, and Jesus died for us all. On the Sermon on the Mount, it didn't say, do unto others as you will have them do unto you, except for the people you hate that did you wrong. He said, be kind to all men, whether they're good, ugly, kind, or hard-headed. Of course, the movie, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Love all of them. Sincerely, unfeigned love. No, not fake love. true love. So when people do right by you, enjoy them. If they don't make every dot every I and cross every T in life, enjoy life anyway. It's not the end of the world for you. If they did something, it shames you, but they repented and they made works and they asked you to forgive. No, don't throw it in their face anymore. Forget about that. Some couples have stepped out on their spouse and committed adultery, and there are people who have forgiven them. And some people, even sinners, have forgiven them, and they don't even throw it in their face. Now, Jesus forgot us of worse things than adultery. When we first got heard about Jesus, we didn't all come running to get saved. We did all kind of stuff before we got saved. Said all kind of cruel things before we got saved. And God forgave us of all of our sour living. So if a person wants forgiveness, forgive them. If a person is just defiant and won't repent, and you have to get a divorce, don't stop loving them as a person. And if you can't have the relationship you want with them, you know, love can release people into their own will. If that's what they really want, just release them back into the world, release them back into however they want to be. I don't try to change people, and I don't beg people to change. Because in the kingdom of God, everybody here wants to be here. And people know what they want. They know whether they want to love God or not. And I don't... Jesus said, let those that are righteous be righteous still. Let those who are filthy be filthy still. That's what love would do. I don't care who it is. Now, I want them to go to heaven. I want them to live according to God's standards. But don't do it because of me. Do it because that's what you want. I just desire that for you because I know God is good. But if you really want this world, it's out there. It's free too. But it comes with it's free to get started. But it comes with a death price tag on it. It's going to kill you. It's going to rape you. It's going to murder you. If that's what you want, it's out there. But God loves you. And operating in His love takes you far above the snake line. You know, on the mountain, Perry Stone said there was a point on the mountain snakes just don't cross because the elevation aggravates them. I don't know what it do to them, but they won't cross that snake line. And sometime on the mountain, the mountain men will put a stone. This is the snake line. You don't see a snake past that rock or that sign. So you can rise above the snake line even if a person in your home is acting like a snake. You live above them. You love according to God's love. You receive God's love towards you and relay it to them. And what that'll do, it'll either draw them to back home, or if they love the world, it'll drive them away. Just like Jesus. Jesus is a divider. When you have people around that want to be corrupt, and you start talking about Jesus, either they're going to join Jesus or they're going to leave you alone. If you want to get out of a gang, start preaching. Either they're going to get saved and forget about that nonsense, or they're going to leave you alone. When you start preaching Jesus, you divide things from you or bring things to you. But a healthy marriage has foundation. See, some people have much and they can't enjoy it. He will bless you with the things you desire, and you'll have the ability to enjoy life. And it's not based on how people treat you. The secret is how you look at God, how you receive His word. That makes the greater difference. Now I'm out of time again, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. I thank God for His wisdom. The wisdom of God and the love of God is much greater than the wisdom of this world. Now, I spoke about God's wisdom, His rich wisdom. And there are people who receive this message, and if you're like me, you'll begin doing these things because Jesus said it. But you'll end up rejoicing because you're going to be so wild how it works. It works so wonderful. And I wish that I had known this years ago. Which I learned it. I began to learn it. But, I mean, years before I learned it back in 97. I walked in joy that I have not been able to express. And I have loved people deeply because I learned it from the Lord. Now, till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.